Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go on this first Sunday of Lent. We're so grateful to have you tuning in with us. This is also our annual meeting Sunday, so we'll focus a bit on the life of our church, where we've been and where we are now, and maybe a little bit about where we're going to be led in the future. But before we do that, I'd like you to just settle your hearts and minds in an attitude of prayer and worship as we listen to Sidney Anderson and Anne McGuire sing for us, "Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley."
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself.
Sidney Ann, thank you so much for that. So church family, we look at a story in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, when Jesus returns to his hometown in Nazareth. This is early on in his ministry. He's been baptized by John. He spent time in the wilderness battling the demons and within and probably the devil without. And then he begins to preach around the regions of Galilee. And we're told that he was already drawing large crowds, and people praised him wherever he went. So this is in verse 16 in chapter 4, where Jesus makes his way back home. It says, "When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he went and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and all the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So at this point, everything's going really well. But then things change. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son?" And Jesus turned to them and said, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here in your hometown the things that we heard you did in Capernaum.' And Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown.'" But the truth is, and this is where it gets really challenging for Jesus' audience. He says, "But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up for 3 years and 6 months and there was no rain. And there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none except the widow at Zarephath in Sidon," so an outsider. And then he went on to say, "There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So Jesus is talking about the promises and blessing of God going outside to the Gentile world. Now, when the people heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they got up and drove Jesus out of the town and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Let's take a moment and pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for the opportunity to meditate on your word. And this morning, not just how it might apply to our individual lives, but how it might apply to the life of our church. We ask for your spirit to intercede and to guide in Jesus' name. Amen. So those of you church family and friends listening in, as I said, this is annual meeting Sunday. And I always think it's important on this Sunday to reflect upon and just speak directly about the life of our church. To speak about Jesus' desires for us, not just as individual Christians, but as a family of faith in a particular place and a certain time with, frankly, a myriad of issues and opportunities before us. Now, we are a handful of days away from the 2-year anniversary of the initial closure of our church in March 2020. We have endured 2 years of pandemic as a community. I remember, some of you may remember this, I interviewed Mike Handler, who was handling the town's initial response to COVID early on at that March. And I remember he said to me he was planning for it to last a year. And I thought, he's got to be crazy. There's no way this lasts a year. Well, it's been 2 years. And our lives and the life of our church have been significantly impacted. And now we're at the end of this long, challenging season. The pandemic's waning. Life is returning to familiar and welcome rhythms. And I think now we need to take time to reflect on what we've learned, on what we've lost, and on what we're being called to as a church in the future. I mean, those are the questions that I've been wrestling with for quite some time now. They're questions, as good congregationalists, I want us to wrestle with and pray about and discuss this Lenten and Easter season together as a church, as a community. We've made it through pandemic. We've accumulated some scars and some successes. Where do we go from here? If you'll indulge me a little longer with the pilgrim image and story, where do we sail from here? Where do we sail to? What does the Lord desire from us and for this church that we're stewards of going forward? Now, to this set of questions, we bring the story of a rather unfortunate homecoming for Jesus. Jesus arrived, as we read, in his hometown of Nazareth with this great fanfare, probably even greater expectations. Jesus went to the synagogue. During worship, he was given the scroll of Isaiah, and that's significant. Isaiah is a central text for the Hebrew people, and it's a text that reminded them not only of their exile in Babylon 600 years earlier, but also of their deliverance from that forced captivity. And to a first century Jewish community living under Roman occupation, reading from Isaiah would have been a welcome reminder of God's promise and ability to lead God's people to freedom. Jesus turned in the scroll to a place of truly good news, and he read, and you heard it a moment ago, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus then sat down and told the people exactly what they hoped to hear, that the fulfillment of that ancient prophecy was again at hand. So far, so good. At this point, the homecoming was going well. The people who longed for reliefs from bondage were told that the days of the Roman rule and oppressive occupation were drawing to a close. However, that's the moment when things started to go sideways. Someone made a comment about Jesus' dad. They made a comment about Jesus' father, likely raising the old and painful issues around the legitimacy of Jesus' birth. And Jesus flipped. That's what happens in this passage. He absolutely flipped. He laid into everyone within earshot. And what Jesus said made people absolutely furious. You know, in an instant, effusive praise was transformed into a murderous rage. The Isaiah scripture that Jesus read was about God's promised liberation and salvation for the Hebrew people. But what Jesus said was that God's liberation extended well beyond the little family of faith that Jesus was addressing. Jesus said God was bringing liberation and restoration to the Syrians. God was preparing to bestow divine favor on the Sidonians. God's promises were going to extend beyond the chosen people to the entire Gentile world. Jesus said to this hometown Jewish audience, "You think this prophecy is just for you? God's intentions and interest extend well beyond the walls of the synagogue. Faith isn't something to be held close by a small group of people. No, relationship with the Lord is to be offered and shared far and wide. Good news, release and liberation, healing, God's favor is not just for one select group of people. It's for everyone." Jesus was saying that the faith was going to be taken out of that building and into and shared with an expansive and aching world. And the Nazarene neighbors who'd watched Jesus grow up since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, well, they did not welcome that message. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm so very grateful to God. And I'm thankful to all of you for how we've managed through this pandemic. So many, too many churches in our area have shut down and stayed closed. Fear has gotten the better of faith. Churches, many churches, too many churches have retreated. Safety at all costs has supplanted the courageous gospel of Jesus Christ. These past 2 years have been incredibly difficult work, no question. Learning how to engage folks virtually and maintain community virtually, and then trying to figure out how to be in person safely, and then beyond that, how to do both, and both hopefully well. I'll tell you, that is exhausting work. And not every church, not every pastor has been willing to do that work. You know, in an area church meeting not long ago, just a handful of weeks ago, I kind of lost my cool a little bit. If Jesus did, then maybe that means that I can too from time to time. But I got so frustrated in the conversation by the lack of engagement, and frankly, the lack of effort put forth by some UCC churches and pastors, that I said, you know, if we're now still talking more about COVID than about Christ, that's a problem. And if we're not careful, COVID will cause the church to get sick and die. I mean, there are many churches that will not survive COVID. But then there are some churches who will not only survive, they will thrive. And those churches will have the opportunity to embrace anew the call and ministry of Jesus. And those churches will bring the hope, the healing, and the restoration of God out of the building and into an expansive and aching world. And I got to tell you, by God's grace and by the movement of the Spirit and by your unwavering support, we are one of those churches. We've taken hits, no question. In-person worship attendance, children's programming, music programming, even church membership has been negatively impacted by 2 years of pandemic. I mean, these 2 years have taken a toll on us, but this experience has not overcome us, nor our Lord. In fact, this experience has forced us out of the building and has expanded our reach and allowed us to connect with people well beyond our walls. Jesus said the good news would spread beyond the walls of that synagogue in Nazareth and the borders of Israel, and it would extend to Syria, to Sidon. That means to the entire Gentile world. And you know, that prophecy has proved true. And we are, and we need to continue to be a part of it. I mean, it's amazing. I now get the analytics, so I know where people are tuning into this podcast or to our worship videos. And last week, we had folks tuning in from the Ukraine. I mean, that's extraordinary. That means that God cannot be contained. The Spirit will not be limited. Our Lord Jesus Christ will not be confined to a room, even a room as beautiful as the one that we get to enjoy on God's acre. Now, I don't know exactly what the future holds for us, but according to Jesus, it has a lot to do with taking what we preach in our building and sharing it and practicing it out in the world. Now, spring of 2019, Tom Robey, former chair of trustees, and I sat in the Memorial Garden and we talked. We talked about how we might lead our church in a time of discernment. It seemed like it was time. Life was good. The church had become financially stable. Most of our programs were showing growth and a good degree of vitality. It was time, we thought, to turn our attention to the future. We contemplated focusing. This is back in 2019. We thought about focusing on the pilgrim's journey of faith during what would be the upcoming, in 2020, the upcoming 400th anniversary of their trip across the Atlantic. I mean, it just seemed like a good opportunity for us to reflect as a congregational and pilgrim church on where the Spirit would have us sail forth as a community for the next 100 years. That was spring 2019. A half a year later, a pandemic hit, and our pilgrim venture, as you well know, turned out to be something of a lesson in survival. I mean, very in keeping, actually, with our pilgrim ancestors' actual experience. However, on this day, the questions remain. What do we do now? They might be even more pronounced. Where do we go from here? What venture of faith are we being invited to sail into by the Lord? I mean, I'll tell you, the future is full of amazing opportunity for us. But as a particular people in a certain place, what is the unique ministry and mission God wants us engaging in? We're congregationalists, so that means we come together. We are bound together. We come together to try to answer those questions as a community. So, in an attempt to answer those questions about future direction, and I know I risk beating the pilgrim illustration to death, we've been sailing this ship. This church of ours, we've been sailing this ship, if you will, through a pandemic, and now it's time to bring this old boat into dry dock and inspect it. This is what I'm hoping for. I want us to pray through Lent and Easter about where the Lord wants us to venture together next. I know you got your personal prayers, your family prayers, global prayers for Lent. I want you to add this as well. Pray for the church and our future direction. And then the Saturday and Sunday after Easter, we've invited our good friend and former pastor, Alan Hilton, to join us and help moderate an assessment of the condition of this vessel, this church we have. How well have we actually hung together? What's in need of repair? How do we want to refit this ship, and where are we called to sail next? Those are the questions before us. And on this annual meeting Sunday, I want to ask every member and friend of our church, those who will be in person, but those of you who are online, I want to ask you to begin to pray about what adventure of faith the Lord wants to lead us into next. Let's pray together throughout this holy season of Lent and Easter for a revelation for our church. Let's take the weekend after Easter to do an assessment and do some discernment, trusting that if we engage in a little introspection, if we engage in a little bit of questioning, our Lord will indeed provide. Our Lord will provide a wildly exciting and tremendously impactful itinerary for our next 100 years. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you for this church that you've entrusted to us for nearly 300 years. We thank you for the 400-year tradition of our pilgrim and congregational ancestors. And we pray, Lord, that as we edge out of a pandemic, certainly not the most trying of times in terms of world history and world events, but significantly impactful all the same. As we edge out of this pandemic, Lord, help us to really fix our minds and hearts on where you might be calling us next. Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do as a church? Where will your Spirit blow us? Where should we be sailing together? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website. www.godsacre.org or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.